This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
From KMOX Sports, this is the Graybar Sports on a Sunday morning. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Yes, indeed. And here is the chairman and CEO of Stifel, the sponsor of this very studio, joining us online to kick things off. It's Ron Kraszewski. Ron, Happy New Year. It's great to visit with you. How are things?
Happy New Year, Tom. Things are great. It's 25 was a great year. 26 is going to be better. How you been?
I've been great. First, before we do anything, how about those Indiana Hoosiers? Come on now. Unbelievable.
Yeah, come on. You know, Tom, I didn't know how I was going to start this. I was going to ask you, like, who is the number one team in the country? I got to tell you, Tom, I've got offices all over the place, but I've made it a point to go to Georgia and Alabama and Texas and Oklahoma and Michigan just to visit my offices and talk smack for the first time in my life. Like, I'm telling you.
It's amazing. I mean, you talk about leadership. Yeah. Which you are, and you lead a lot of people. You can learn a lot from Kurt Cignetti, can't you? If anything, if you could say one thing about him, he is prepared for everything that comes his way.
He's prepared. He's focused. He's a great leader. If you read about the fact that he doesn't really practice, he lets his players rest. He's a part of the mental part of the game, but he exemplifies leadership. And like I said, look, it might be January 4th, but I'm a pretty proud Hoosier, and let's just hope they can take care of business in the Peach Bowl on Friday.
Unbelievable. I cannot wait. It is going to be really exciting. I'm actually hosting the Herman Trophy that night, so I will be hustling out of the MAC to catch the second half of that contest. I did a while back book a flight to Miami, so I'm hopeful for a win so I can get to that national championship game. Ron, we have a lot of things to talk about in a short amount of time, and I appreciate the time in joining us. By the way, Ron and I are both IU alums, so thank you for giving us that opportunity to talk about the Hoosiers first and foremost. But I know you're very passionate about sports. I mean, your name is on the Blues. Your name is on the Cardinals, not to mention the Stifel Charity Classic and so many other things here in St. Louis. But one thing people might not know about you is your affiliation with the United States Ski Team and your passion for raising funds for it, your passion for the sport. Tell us about your excitement as the Winter Olympics are fast approaching.
Well, you know, Tom, thanks for bringing that up. First of all, I am a huge proponent of sports in St. Louis. As you said, the Cardinals, the Blues, the Charity Classic, we're involved in golf, a number of things. But I have to tell you, one of my real passions is skiing. Snow skiing, and years ago we became the title sponsor. We're really the title sponsor. Think of this. The U.S. Olympic ski team, Michaela Schifrin, Lindsey Vonn, all of them, it's the Stifel U.S. ski team. We have a fundraiser where St. Louis turns out every year we raise almost $1.5 million because, you know, U.S. government does not support like other countries, our Olympic teams, and we're able to do that. But, you know, this year, from my perspective, from a business perspective, it's going to pay off. I mean, we're getting our name all over the place, and the Olympics are going to be huge in Milan, Cortina. I'm actually going to go. I'm looking forward to it. It's a phenomenal sport, and, you know, we're investing in it, Tom.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm a newspaper guy, and I picked up the sports page in my driveway today and turned to page B8 of the sports section. Ron, the entire page is on your ski team. In fact, you see Lindsey Vonn in four different photos, and you can see very clearly on her left arm the Stifel logo, but it's all about Lindsey, really. I mean, there are other people mentioned, but it shows you what an enormous name she is in the sports history.
Lindsey is phenomenal. That we caught lightning in a bottle, because remember, Lindsey retired. Lindsey could barely walk. you know, we're coming up with a documentary. It's called On the Edge, and your visitors should watch it. ESPN's going to stream it. It'll come out a couple weeks before the Olympics. And it starts with Lindsey Vonn and her story where she couldn't walk, she couldn't play tennis, and then a doctor was able to put a small thing in her knee, and she won a World Cup, and she's going to be a real force at the Olympics at, what, 41 years old or 40 years old? It's amazing, Tom. But, you know, Lindsey's one thing, but the greatest of all time is Michaela Schifrin. Michaela Schifrin's won 106 World Cups, more than any man, woman in the history of the sport, actually by a number of 20 more, and she's just 30 years old. So the sport's phenomenal. We've got steeper ambassadors and alpine jumping, dual moguls, you name it. It's we're invested in the sport.
Schifrin has made multiple appearances here in St. Louis, hasn't she? As you've held some events to raise funds for that team.
10 straight years, she's shown up at the Stiefel fundraiser that we've had at my house, and we had it in another venue this year. She shows up. She knows people by their first name. They know her. She's been coming here, like I said, for 10 years. And what an athlete and what a skier. She plays second today. First time she's won 5 straight slaloms. Today, everyone's disappointed. She plays second by like a tenth of a second. She's tremendous.
What about
it's fun and
yeah?
Go ahead.
Oh no, she really is. I mean, it's an incredible name and all that she does. It's amazing when you think about the expectations of finishing first every time. It's like Tiger Woods in his prime, like LeBron James in his prime.
It really was. I mean, she's won like a third of the time. It's incredible. People will say that she won much more than Tiger won, more than Roger Federer in terms of a percentage when she steps into the gate. She does. But look, it's a dangerous sport. Lindsey was hurt. Michaela got hurt last year. So it not only requires skill, it requires courage. And we, you know, at Stiefel, you know, it embodies what we like to think about our organization. We like to think that our people, you know, not only are skilled, but they're dedicated and they're passionate. And that's why we do U.S. skiing. I just have to figure out how to put my name on that Indiana jersey between now and Friday. Okay,
we'll get you a meeting with Scott Dolson. I guess. I mean, they look there.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, they'll take it.
I think. Well, if I can get it sewn on, you might see it. Okay, just don't be too. You know me, Tom. If it can be done, you know.
Yeah. I mean, look, we're hitting the portal right now. I mean, we need some players. I mean, you know, that'll help. Before we go, yeah. Ron, what about the men's team? What about the men's ski team? We talked a lot about the women.
Yeah, the men have some real personalities. River Radamus, who could medal. You've got Tommy Ford. The men are not. And maybe even historically, you'd have to go back to Bodie Miller, where before the men were as strong as the women. So everyone's talking about the women, and for good reason. The women are the best ski team in the world right now. But the men will compete. But you also have other disciplines. You have the moguls, and you have the aerials, and you have the free ski, the half-pipe free ski, where the men will dominate. And you know what's interesting? You've seen commercials about Stiefel, Tom. We're leaning into this because I think come February 6th to the 18th, the ski team is going to win more medals than any other team across a bunch of disciplines. We've been just talking alpine here, but when we talk about all these disciplines, that's where the men will dominate as well as the women in alpine.
Ron, it's great to spend time with you. We just appreciate you so much. By the way, if you want to go learn more, just go to usskiandsnowboard.org. Great website. Everything is right there. You can learn as we get ready for the Winter Olympics. And we appreciate your partnership with KMOX.
Hey,
I mean, you've been a big part of who we are.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to send you a ski jacket, the official ski jacket. I want you to wear it. All right.
Now,
underneath that ski jacket, you put on an Indiana T-shirt and go Hoosiers. Let's end with that, Tom, okay?
I love it. Thank you. I appreciate
right,
you, man.
See you, buddy.
Have a great day. Great friend of ours, Ron Kraszewski, chairman and CEO of Stiefel. And what a special time for him as the Winter Olympics come around and the ski team poised to bring home all kinds of medals. Really exciting. By the way, the U.S. Figure Skating Championships start this week at Enterprise Center. And we had a visit recently with the president of the Sports Commission, Mark Schreiber about that. You can go back to our last show here on Sports on a Sunday Morning and learn more about what's happening this week at Enterprise Center. We have all kinds of interviews up with the members of the figure skating on the U.S. side as well. Good times and a big St. Louis connection. We're an Olympic city. I mean, we're the first city to hold the summer games in the United States, and we're forever an Olympic city, so it's always great to talk about the Olympics here on KMOX. When we come back, we are going to talk some football. There's a lot going on, and college basketball. Mizzou fans did not go to sleep on their team, I don't think. I think they realized the SEC schedule was ahead of them, and the Tigers, to their credit, turned around after getting shellacked by Illinois and beat Florida. Illinois is pretty good, too. We'll talk about the Illini when we come back. Sports on a Sunday morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
From the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Great to visit with Ron Kruszewski. Known him for a long time, and he's been a great partner here of KMOX, and we appreciate his contributions to the St. Louis sports scene, and a lot of fun for him, I'm sure, for the U.S. ski team as well. Let's talk a few things. So we did talk about Indiana because he and I both went to IU. A lot of great friends right now, just sort of like I am, just sort of floating around town. I mean, if you've seen me out running errands or something like that, wearing this IU hat, if you're watching us on YouTube, X, Facebook, I haven't even retweeted the stream, Drew. That's how out of it I am right now. I'm just sort of like in this incredible, I don't even know how to explain it, days, you know, but in a good way. I just can't believe that it happened, and it's special. I should believe that it happened, and other people should too. I think I mentioned this with Scott Jagow this morning, is that you get a little worn out, I think, if you're an IU football fan, of everybody telling you how bad you were for a long time and how Indiana University doesn't care about football, or that they didn't care about football, or that they are a basketball school. Like, yeah, okay, we got all that. Yes, Indiana's won 8 national championships in soccer as well, 5 national championships in basketball. I would counter by saying football has not been treated poorly. I think that the program was so mediocre that people just sort of looked past it. If you're a diehard like me who watched or tried to watch every single game or attend at least a game a year, I had a lot of fun with it through the years, hoping that someday they could knock off Ohio State or Michigan. That would be great. An 8-win season would be awesome. Expectations have been raised significantly. This team is here to stay, and they're going to be really good for a long, long time. And just the simple thing on Indiana is they just do everything right. They're prepared. They tackle well. They have an excellent quarterback, and they're trying to acquire another one. There are rumors that they're trying to snag Josh Hoover from TCU. That'd be a big get for them. They have an excellent running game, and their offensive line sort of runs this team. And the offensive line is a road-grading offensive line that just demolished Alabama. They did exactly to Alabama what Nick Saban used to do to other teams, run them over. And they just beat up and bullied Alabama. There was no secret to it. There was no trick play put out by Indiana. They just ran the ball right down their throat. And when they didn't run it, they threw it efficiently, and they have got 3 NFL-wide receivers that they can throw to. Elijah Surratt, Omar Cooper, and Charlie Becker, I think, will all play on Sundays. And they're going to get more. So they're here to stay, and they are really a lot of fun. And I think, you know, they're classy. I love the way they carry themselves up on stage, and I hope it always stays that way. Under Kurt Cignetti's watch, it will. And, you know, when you're winning and everybody's gunning for you, I do think that right now everybody, it feels like, is on board with this team, and we appreciate you so much. I mean, there are so many people that have been texting me from our rival teams that say, you know, I'm rooting for you. I had Alabama fans say, you know what, that sucked, but I'm on board because the way they carry themselves, the way they play, is the way everybody should play. And I appreciate that, but I know there's going to come a day where they're going to be hated, because if they start to do this again, people are going to get tired of it and want to take them down. So that said, it's been fun. I will say, for the national sports media that has been backtracking a little bit after picking Alabama or trashing Indiana's soft schedule, or, you know, saying that Indiana doesn't belong at this level, or maybe just because it says Indiana, all that's forgiven and forgotten. I don't really care anymore. I mean, I think everything has been shown now. It's a great football team that has a huge task ahead of it to beat Oregon. Beating a team twice is very hard. I think the big challenge for Indiana here is that they have to get themselves back focused within a week of winning the greatest game in school history. When they beat Ohio State, that was the greatest win in school history, but they had 3.5 weeks to get ready for the Rose Bowl. They had some time to get healthy. They had some time to take off and then refocus. That is not happening now. You have to go right back into the meeting room and review film, which they're doing at this very moment, I'm sure, of Oregon. And Oregon is awfully good. So it'll be a tough, tough test. Whoever wins that Big Ten matchup, Indiana-Oregon, will be the favorite in the national championship over Miami or Ole Miss, but any of the four could win it. And that brings me to my other point, is that I think maybe this puts to bed a little bit of the crying about James Madison and Tulane being in the playoff, that they don't belong on the same field with these teams. I'm sorry, did I not see James Madison score 34 points on Oregon? How many did Texas Tech score? That's what I thought. The Big 12 champion scored zero. Do they not belong on the same field as these other teams? Does Alabama, who got destroyed and the worst loss of any of the teams in the playoffs, it was the most lopsided game, do they not belong either? So let's just, you know, the beauty of college football is right now anybody can get it done. Maybe not James Madison or Tulane could win a national championship, but they had good seasons. I know they're going to tweak the playoff system a little bit, so it's going to be harder for those teams to get in next time around. But, you know, college football is different now. It's not Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama anymore. It's everybody's got a shot in this era. And so for all the grousing about college football, maybe this is coming from a guy who just saw his team dominate and is the number one team in the country, but things are pretty good if you play it right, if you get the resources and you get the coach and you get the money and you get the right players and you have the backing, it can happen. Now, to college basketball, which is my first love, is Cardinal baseball. That people always ask, like, what's your favorite sport? Baseball, because the Cardinals were my first love. The Cardinals are our biggest partner. The Cardinals, I'm a St. Louis kid. I grew up going to Busch Stadium with my dad. But my second love, when I first started being a sports fan, was Mizzou basketball. My dad was very close with Norm Stewart. We had a great relationship with the Tigers. I love Mizzou basketball in my heart, and I always will, even if I'm a SLU broadcaster and they're my team. And even if I'm a Hoosier and an IU alum and they are my 1A, I'll always love the Tigers and I always hope that they do well. And that's why when they lost to Illinois, it was awesome for the Illini. I mean, a tremendous win for Brad Underwood and his excellent team, and justifies those of us who said they are a legit Final Four contender. But it was a very hurtful game for Mizzou, because they seem to be spinning their wheels a little bit. And what are they going to do in the SEC? I mean, how are they going to survive in this league? And then they come out last night against the Florida Gators, who, by the way, are the defending national champions. Not as good as they were last year, but still ranked 22nd in the country. And Drew Young, they beat them 76-74 last night at Mizzou Arena. The Tigers toppled the Gators, and how it went down in the end: a driving layup, a three-pointer from Pierce, Trent Pierce, made it 69-65 with over 2 minutes left. Florida pulls to within two on multiple occasions, and then a clutch three from Anthony Robinson II with 22 seconds left and just enough free throws down the stretch helped the Tigers secure the win, 76-74. Here's Coach Dennis Gates.
Ant Robinson, he would have had a horrible birthday tomorrow. Horrible. Right before that bank shot, I said, nobody else is shooting that shot but you, and you need to make the play. He tried to look at me again as if I was going to change my mind, and I said, you're shooting the ball.
You're shooting the ball, and that's exactly what happened. He knocked the shot down, and the Tigers won the game. Congrats to them, 76-74. Illinois won. They beat Penn State, never easy, on the road in the Big Ten, and they did that yesterday, beating the Nittany Lions, 73-65. Other games, SEMO beat Western Illinois 73-50. Lindenwood over USI 83-80. Moorhead State won at SIUE 73-72. The Billikens are 13-1. They smashed St. Joseph's 102-79. But Josh Schertz wasn't exactly thrilled with the team's defense. We'll talk to him live next on KMOX. It's been fun already, and we're going to have some fun now with the head coach of St. Louis University. It is our Billiken Report, and it's brought to you by Royal Banks of Missouri. We say good morning to SLU coach Josh Schertz. Morning, coach.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
Doing great. Boy, I had some fun on New Year's Eve, I'll tell you that. That was some entertaining game as the Billikens won the game 102-79. I want to get into all that, but I want to start with this. I did not sense that you were very pleased with the defense. At halftime, you told Tamar Scher on our telecast that it stunk, and I think after the game, you rated it an F, I do believe. Yeah. Is that true?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty bad. I mean, you know, it was one of those deals where, you know, we've gotten away a little bit from our identity there. I thought we did a poor job in all the you know, things we do defensively and on a night where you, you know, you make 19 threes and play as well as we did offensively. I think, you know, most efficient offensive game in at least the KenPom era, you know, the last, whatever, 28, 29 years. You should have a bigger margin than that. So I thought our defense wasn't up to snuff. And that's kind of, you know, second game in a row. We've been one of the better defensive teams in the country. You look at, you know, the metrics. You look at where we were, I think, New Hampshire. And St. Joseph's, I kind of threw out the Principia game, but those two, you know, we've taken a step back, but it's, I mean, you know, if you look at our metrics throughout the year, we've been one of the better defenses in the country. It's why we're, I think today, you know, we're second in the country in scoring margin, you know, in Division I behind Michigan. And, you know, it's about being elite on both ends of the floor. I thought we were elite offensively and really porous defensively New Year's Eve.
Yeah, you know, St. Joseph's has some size and some ability, and they love to shoot the three also. If some of those go down, it could have been a different story, to your point. And what is that? I mean, is it – I've heard you say this, and I love this, is that it takes no talent. In fact, back when I was coaching girls, I used to tell them, and in the fifth to eighth grade, I said, look, there is no talent required for effort. I mean, go out there and give everything you got as long as you're on the floor, right?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I it doesn't. And I don't know, you know, it's hard. You know, it was weird because I didn't think we didn't play hard necessarily. Mm-hmm. I mean, we dove on the floor for loose balls. I thought we were first to the floor. I thought we were, you know, the effort level was fine. It was really the discipline to execute. You know, we were really poor at the point of attack. You know, we put our guys on islands, so we weren't, you know, shrunk and in our gaps, and our whole defense is really predicated on trying to be great at the point of attack and then providing great support. And if they do crack your shell, you know, the ball gets to the rim, you know, you got to have low man help and rotate behind that. I just thought all those things were either non-existent or a step slow. And so when you look at the game, you know, they get 79 points, you know, they average, you know, they get more than 1 point of possession, which is the number we really look at. You know, we don't spend a whole lot of time on, you know, what the final number is. Obviously, it matters in terms of winning and losing. But end of the day, you know, you're looking at points per possession, and they were just like New Hampshire above one. And, you know, the last two games we've given up, you know, we've been the best 3-point defense, you know, in the league, or we were last year, and something I think going back to the Valley, we were, you know, last couple of years in the Valley, and we pride ourselves on doing a great job of protecting in and exploding out and really doing a good job of contesting. And, you know, the last two games, 21 made threes out of 55. And so high percentages, bad point of attack. And so it's a little bit of execution, and it's just like anything. I mean, you can get away from your identity, you know, just because something is, doesn't mean it always will be. And that's the same if it's bad, right? You know, you know, I mean, like, you have a bad shooting night doesn't mean you're always going to shoot bad. You're a good defense unless you don't do the things that made you a good defense in the first place. And I think, you know, I didn't like our trending these last two games, and it's something we got to certainly, you know, clean up as we get into the, you know, kind of the meat and potatoes of the A-10 schedule.
Yeah, I totally get that. I think part of defensive effort is focus, is making sure that you know that you have to be in the right place at the right time, that you know that you can affect the game in a variety of different ways. I'll tell you a guy who did. I don't know if he's part of this group that you were upset with, but Brady Dunlap played a heck of a game. I mean, he looked like he was all over the place making things happen.
Really did. He's done some really good things for us.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No. Anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
His trajectory has been really good. You know, Brady came in. He'd obviously missed most of last year. He had multiple surgeries. His second year at St. John's, got a redshirt year for it. Had another surgery in the spring, you know, right before he got to us. Missed the first few weeks of June when we got here, recovering from that. And he just hadn't played much. And, I think Brady's a guy who, has the ability to put his fingerprints on winning in a variety of ways. And, I think the biggest thing for him is to get out of the mindset that, you know, I live and die with making shots. I mean, obviously he's a tremendous shooter, but he can drive closeouts. Brady's a good finisher in transition. You know, he's not a ball pressure guy, but he can really guard the ball. He can contain, he's 6'8". He can rebound the ball defensively. He can rebound the ball offensively. He's a terrific cutter. He's got good instincts and size. You know, there's a lot of things that he can do. You know, he understands team defensive concepts. A lot of things that he can do that can drive winning and will allow me to play him through, you know, the ebbs and flows of shooting. You know, I always think shooting is a variance in the game. It's a variance for all players. It's a variance for all teams. You know, we happen to shoot a great New Year's Eve. Doesn't mean there's no carryover for that on the VCU. You just focus on the process of generating great shots. They go in or they don't. But, you know, for him, he's playing in such a way, and I think the biggest stat of that game was, you know, he was plus 30, you know. So, you know, when he was off the floor, he was plus 30 in his 24 minutes on the floor. The 16 minutes he was on the floor, we were minus 7. So, I mean, that's the best stat you can have. And it shows his impact and the wide, you know, kind of breadth of what he's doing. And I just think he's getting better and better, more comfortable inside of what we're doing. He's always been a low mistake guy. Now he's combining it with kind of understanding how to touch the game outside of just making shots, which obviously is a tremendous shooter.
Yeah, and as Troy pointed out on the telecast to me, he's a much better athlete than you think. I mean, he really can get from A to B quickly, and he's got it long and can make plays. Really nice player. Speaking of athletic, I mean, as soon as he comes into the game, it felt like Kellen Thames gets a steal and a dunk, and then that windmill, are you kidding? I mean, he takes flight. That's like a video game, what he threw down there on New Year's Eve, Coach.
Yeah, how about the pick of the kid taking the pick? I mean, we got an unbelievable pick of the so that was pretty impressive. Kellen's dunk, the kid capturing the perfect time. That's amazing. We need to hire him as our photographer. But Kellen, yeah, always. I mean, he's just a guy and it's a little bit opposite. Like, you know, I don't think I have to go back and look. I don't think Kellen's made a three all year. But man, does he drive winning and does it in so many different ways. And his ability to defensively, he's got unbelievable instincts. He's got great instincts to steal the basketball. He's turned himself into a really good offensive rebounder. Our offensive rebounding metrics are through the roof when he and Paul are in the game together, which they usually come in there and that, you know, midway through the first half, and they do it again in the second half, and they drive that. His, you know, touching paint, and he's, you know, he's a remarkable athlete, but it's kind of like Brady, like, he's also a really good basketball player, and I think sometimes, you know, he's so athletic, and he does so many, you know, where he, these highlights, and you kind of can lose what a really good basketball player he is inside of that, and the things he does that helps winning. And he made some unbelievable passes in transition where he, you know, drove the ball in, sucked the defense in, sprays it out. You know, he has a great one to Ish and a great one to Robbie where he touches paint in transition and, you know, plays off 2 feet and gets those guys threes. And those plays, you know, as a coach, they resonate. They're not as loud as the dunks or the athletic things that he does. But they resonate with me. He's really learned how to play off 2 feet. And it's kind of his first year in the system. I mean, he was obviously with us last year. But as you know, by end of November, he was pretty much shut down. I mean, we kept him going till January. But he was playing, you know, 6 minutes, 4 minutes, 8 minutes, you know, whatever we could squeeze in. And then he was kind of done. And so this is, you know, just see his trajectory and where he's coming from. And he's playing great basketball for us and, you know, touches the game in as many ways as any player we have.
Yeah, he really is. I mean, it's an entertaining team, but when he is on the floor, you kind of stop what you're doing and make sure that you pay attention because something special is about to happen. It's an exciting team. It really is. I think that the crowd got their money's worth. They had an absolute blast. But I do feel like your observation of the defense is right on the money. But also, I think you have a little motivation here knowing what's coming. VCU on Wednesday is going to be your biggest challenge to date and a challenge I'm sure you embrace. I mean, let's see what this team can do in a hostile environment.
Yeah, no, this is you know, exactly what we need. You know, unbelievably good basketball team. I think it's the best team we've played to this point this year. You know, watching their film, they got, you know, very well coached, got incredible talent, really good on both ends of the floor. Play a very physical brand of basketball. And then you go to, you know, Siegel Center, it'll be sold out. It's as good an environment. Last year, I remember going there as we played it. I mean, certainly Dayton has more people, but VCU, they're just on top of you with the band and everything else. So, I mean, it'll be crazy in there. And I think, you know, this is the whole thing with the team is, you know, as you're going, you know, you have your opponent scouting, which we do, and then you have yourself scouting, which is like as you watch film and, you know, usually every single game, and we watch every practice. But every game, you know, you watch on film and you watch the game twice and, you know, we all get together and we do the self-scouting piece of where we need to grow, what do we need to get better at, what are we doing well in this sustain. You know, I thought, and like I said, things are fluid. So, like, we came back from break, New Hampshire, I thought, you know, we were terrible on both ends against New Hampshire. I thought we were, you know, I thought our rim decisions were really poor offensively, thought our spacing was poor, thought our flow offense was poor. I thought we didn't cut well, didn't move well, didn't share the ball well. And we really went back to work on those things, and I thought we were awesome in those areas against St. Joe's. You know, we didn't quite translate the defensive piece over, but that's the nature of this deal. But, yeah, Wednesday will be our biggest test so far. Great team, hostile environment. The teams I've been a part of, and I've been fortunate to be in some big-time road games, you know, at LMU and Indiana State, they love it like this. I mean, the tougher, the better. You can't, that's exactly what you want to see. You want to walk into a hostile environment against a great team and kind of see if you have the mental toughness, the discipline to go out, execute in a big time game like that in a great environment. And I know our guys are chomping the bit. I am as well. And, you know, we'll see where we are. It'll be a great litmus test and, you know, and then we'll take some great lessons from that game and then fly them forward and get ready for LaSalle, which will be another tough road game.
Yeah, this is why you come to a school like this. This is why you play at this level. To a competitor, there's nothing better than the sound of getting booed when you come out of the tunnel. I mean, that is just going to be a lot of fun. We'll have the broadcast at 6 o'clock on Wednesday. It's SLU and VCU. Coach, congrats on a great start to the season and good luck out in Richmond.
Appreciate you. Thanks, Tom. We'll see you on Wednesday night.
Yes, sir. There is Josh Schertz, the head coach of the Billikens. His visit sponsored by Royal Banks of Missouri. When we come back, the St. Louis Blues are off to a good start in 2026. They've won back-to-back home games, shut out the Canadiens last night. We'll visit with Barrett Jackman. Can't wait to visit with one of the toughest St. Louis Blues ever. He'll be with us on KMOX next. Great to be with you, and great to be with one of my all-time favorite St. Louis Blues. Man, do I love number 5, Barrett Jackman. What's going on, Jax? It's great to have you back on KMOX.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me.
As I remember covering the team, and I remember you coming in your rookie year and us admiring your skill level, but I think what was most admired about you through your career was your toughness and durability. I don't even want to know how many injuries you played through to get to where you were.
Yeah, no, quite a few, but it's yeah, it was the price you had to pay. If I wanted to stay in the NHL, I had to play hard-nosed and play through injuries, and I always kind of measured myself. If I wasn't playing through an injury, I probably wasn't playing hard enough.
That's right. Ozzie Smith said that to me one time. He said, if you tell the coach you're 100%, you're not 100%. Nobody's 100%. If you're playing – basically what he said was if you tell them you're 100%, you're not playing hard enough. It's always trying to battle through things. You're going to be in the 2026 induction class with Al Arbor and Alex Steen, the fourth group to enter the organization's Hall of Fame. Congratulations. I mean, I could not be happier for you to enter the Blues Hall of Fame.
Yeah, thank you. It came kind of a bit of a shock. I thought maybe I had a chance years down the road, after some great players went in. But when Prongs and I were on the stage at AB at the beginning of the year and told me, I was blown away and absolutely in shock.
And the Blues will have that ceremony on January 12th at the MAC downtown. And then you will be honored along with Steiner and Al Arbor at Enterprise Center the next night against the Carolina Hurricanes. By the way, the Hall of Fame committee announced that Kelly Chase will be honored with the annual True Blue Award at the ceremony. Just cannot wait for that as well. What an incredible human being Chaser is.
Yeah, just that group with, the tradition of Al Arbor, Steiner, winning the cup and being really the glue of that group and being a great teammate to me over the years. And then, Chaser, what he's done for the entire community. He's never said no to a charity. He's raised so much money in the community and he really exemplifies what, the true blue, bleeding blue and being, putting on that blue note. He's the guy that, is deserving of the true blue award, and it's great to have that recognition.
And you continue on this great tradition of the Blues alumni. The best alumni group, I think, in any sport is the Blues alumni. They stay in St. Louis. They contribute to St. Louis. And yesterday, St. Louis police officers faced off against the firefighters, the police versus fire game, first responders night presented by ServPro. You suited up alongside the police officers, and that had to have been a tremendous time, as well as what it meant for the backstoppers.
Yeah, the first responders in St. Louis, whether it's, riots or, tornadoes or just trying to keep the streets safe and everybody in St. Louis, they mean so much to the community. And the alumni group is really big at helping those groups out. And we're grateful for them. And, like you said, we have a tremendous amount of alumni that are in St. Louis still and love to stay here because of the people and the way St. Louis has embraced us while we played and after the fact as well.
You're just such a big part of the community. The St. Louis Blues are, but it's always better when they're winning, and they are winning here. Now they start off January with a couple of wins. What do you observe here? Is it all about goaltending with them moving forward, or are all the pieces starting to come together a little bit for this team after that rough loss against the Avs?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of everything. Binner was amazing last night, and Hof, the last month has been one of the best goalies in the league. So You know, that obviously helps. But I think a lot of these young guys coming in and through a lot of injuries to key players, the young guys are getting experience. And the more experience you get, the better you get. So I think a lot of that stuff is kind of, a little bit hand-in-hand with the goaltending as well.
How do you see the defenseman? I mean, being a defenseman yourself, what do you see about the future of this organization from that standpoint? I feel like that's been a question kind of hanging out there. What do they look like in the future?
I think they're going to be good. I got a couple of young guys. Mayu has had a bit of a rocky start, but he has all the tools. And, he came into the year with only playing, five or nine games. So, the experience for him is big as well. But, the mix of the older guys, Fultz had an amazing year, Fowler, Parayko, are amazing, players, and Broberg is a stud. So I really do like the mix. And then the young guys they got coming up are going to be pretty good as well.
Yes, they are. I believe that as well. They got some good ones coming in. You know, this is also just really part of what you're about too, is teaching young players. I mean, how gratifying must that be to see some of the kids you've been around go on to play at the highest level they can possibly get? I mean, hockey is going all the way back to some of your predecessors like Bob Plager. I mean, teaching people the sport has been a big part of what the Blues are all about.
Yeah, it's carrying on the tradition of, leaving the Blue Note in a better place than you found it. And the lessons I learned from Al and Prongs and Walt and Dougie Wade and all these guys that I had the privilege of playing with, and you pass it along. And Bobby Plager is the perfect gentleman and purveyor of the Blue Note, and he's taught us all some great lessons.
It's going to be a great night when you go into the Blues Hall of Fame. That's going to be on January 12th. We appreciate all that you do for us, multiple appearances on KMOX through the years. Also, the Blues visit the Blackhawks this coming Wednesday. Let's not forget a late game, too. Boy, a lot of time to prepare for an 8:30 faceoff, which is probably going to be like 8:50-something because it's on TNT. But anyway, Jax, we appreciate you. Congratulations on the Blues Hall of Fame. Thanks for all that you did for the Backstoppers. I work with them as well, and I can't thank you enough for what you did last night for the first responders.
No, it was a great night, and just being on the ice with those guys, and it's pretty special. And the alumni appreciate them, appreciate what you guys do too, and on the radio support all of us. So thank you.
Well, thanks for leading the alumni and carrying on what so many have done before you. And have a great rest of your day. Be well.
Thanks, you as well. Take care.
Barrett Jackman, he is going into the Blues Hall of Fame. Great to visit with number 5. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we are going to get into some football at the start of the 11 o'clock hour. We're going to sort through what the NFL playoff picture looks like as of right now and what it could look like by the end of the day. This is the end of the NFL regular season. We'll also hear, and we're going to shift to baseball. Cardinals fans are hanging on. They listen to this show a lot of times to hear some baseball, and are they going to hear it? Greg Amsinger, MLB Network, with us at 11:15 live this morning. Chaim Bloom, 11:30, the Cardinals president of baseball operations. Bernie Miklas at 11:45. You've only listened to half of Sports on a Sunday Morning. Back after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.